Okay, I'd like to call to order the meeting of February 15th, the Stormwater Utility Commission. It is 4:05.
4:06.
4:06. I can't read that 4:06.
Roll call?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Can I please have a roll call for the commissioners?
Yes. Commissioner Hawkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Mattson?
Here.
Chair Crocker?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
Okay. Let's move on to the next item. Call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter or ask the matter to be placed on a future agenda or correspond to criticisms made by speaker. However, the commission may not discuss or take any legal actions on matters raised during the call to order. In order to speak during the call to audience, please specify what you wish to when completing the blue speaker card. Were there any requests to speak?
There were no speaker cards.
Thank you. The next item let's move on to is council liaison comments. I'd like to turn it over now to Commissioner Harry Green if he has any council liaison comments.
The main comment I have is that the construction has begun on the community center, lowering the entryway, and in a few months it will be open to everyone with or without disability.
Thank you, Commissioner Green. Next item on the agenda is the director's report. I'd like to now turn it over to John Spiker, the stormwater utility manager, for the director's report. Commissioners, please remember there's no discussion allowed. Mr. Spiker, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. I've got a couple of things here. First and foremost, Oro Valley's turning 50 this year, April 15th. The town's going to be celebrating with the residents, business partners, and guests in a variety of ways. April 6th, the town's hosting a parade coming down to Ronha from Ironwood Ridge High School coming into the town hall complex here. So be on the lookout for that. Come out and celebrate with us. Followed shortly up on April 13th, the town will be hosting a community celebration, I believe, at James D. Creek Park. We'll be doing some outreach there, so stop on by. April's usually an afternoon, so come out and celebrate Oro Valley turning 50. We do have an events calendar. There's going to be other activities, so please take a peek at Oro Valley's events calendar for other activities. Secondarily, rainfall this year. This is from January 1 till just yesterday. We've had anywhere from just under 3 inches of rain upwards of just over 4 inches of rain kind of scattered on the Pima County rain gauges throughout town here. That's well above average for us right now. I did go back and take a peek at the previous handful of years. 2023, just last year, we saw about 2 to 2.75 inches of rain. So you can see we're already an inch above that for this time period. 2022, we only had a half inch of rain falling across town, really light. 21, we had 3/4 of an inch. And in 2020, we had anywhere from 1 inch to 1.25 inches. So we're off to a great start. They've been very mild rains, very soaking. You guys can all see the snowpack up on the Catalinas there. So what that tells me, we're going to have some awesome wallflowers popping right about now. The poppies are out. Lots of weeds as well. So all that brings me back to fire season, and we'll have some guests here speaking with us today in regard to that. But we're going to see an excess growth of small plants, which in turn provide fuel for lightning and human-created fires. So please be diligent in doing what you can to prevent those forest fires and any potential flooding impacts due to those. But it's going to be beautiful out there, folks, so get out and enjoy. Lastly here, kind of speaking on the back of what Councilmember Green brought up, Oro Valley, we have our CED representative here, Renee, to speak on it later, but Oro Valley is asking and inviting residents to help shape the future of the Vistoso Preserve. We've got a survey out right now, the Vistoso Preserve Nature Trails Master Plan Prioritization Survey. Apologize for the mouthful, but that's what it's called. The survey closes tomorrow. So please go online, Google Vistoso Preserve Nature Trails Master Plan Prioritization Survey, and it should bring it up for you to go take a peek and offer comments back to the town. So we encourage all of our residents, business partners to participate in that. Chair Crocker, that is the Stormwater Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Our next agenda item number one is the presentation and discussion of the Pima County Canada del Ore Levee Augmentation Project by Dr. Greg Sachs and Deidre LaRochelle,
yes.
Pima County Regional Flood Control District.
Yes.
Mr. Spiker, please. Want to do the introduction, sir?
Let me speak to it just a little bit. Our colleagues and partners over at Pima County Regional Flood Control District applied post Bighorn Fire in 2020, applied for a FEMA post-fire hazard mitigation grant program. The reason I want to mention this, the town has also applied for the same exact grant program in the following cycle. So the fact that the county has received their award, they're moving forward, gives me hope that our applications that are sitting in the wings will get awarded. So
awesome.
With that, again, I'd like to have Dr. Greg Sachs and Deirdre LaRochelle come up to the table and roll through their presentation.
Okay, I might stand up here in case so I can point, if that's all right. Are you offering the slide?
Yes, just tell me 1 to 4.
Forward. So like John said, we're the Pima County Regional Flood Control District. After the Bighorn Fire in 2020, there was a presidential disaster and a state disaster declaration, which made all the jurisdictions around the state, well, in the county, eligible for post-fire hazard mitigation grant program. Next slide. So we applied for it in 2021. In January, the first step is called a notice of intent, which is very easy to write. Next slide just kind of shows what you already know, that it denuded the Cañada del Oro upper watershed. This is Charlo Gap for people who know it. Move along. So when there's that much denuded vegetation, next slide, in the upper watershed, we had J.E. Fuller conduct a hydrology study to look at how the flows off the mountain increased with the denuded vegetation. So in the next slide, that's the fire scar. So there was a lot of area to evaluate. We wanted to prioritize where we might need to do some post-fire work. So on the next slide, just kind of shows the details, which John is probably much more astute about than I am, but that's the hydrology showing increasing cues. Cañada del Oro
right here
almost doubled in estimated flow with the increased debris load and the less ground cover, what hydrologists engineers refer to as N value, the resistance in the upper watershed. So on the next slide, we knew immediately from previous slide that Cañada del Oro would be one of the big priorities. We then did a sediment transport modeling to look at where this buildup of sediment was. And I think the maintenance division did actually do some sediment removal up here prior to the previous two monsoons while we chased this grant. And then on the next slide, the conclusions of the study were basically that the CDO went from 10,594 CFS to 19,000 estimated in the 100-year event, in the 10-year event. Lots of sediment aggradation, and then the need to protect the 300 or so residences and 50 commercial structures that are already really in the zone neck. I mean, most of that was in the floodplain already, but the floodplain got deeper, in theory, should the levee fail. So that was immediately a priority project. And then on the next slide, for those of you who are finance wonks, if we want to, we can talk a lot about, the biggest challenge for a grant writer is cost-benefit analysis. And, there's interesting things and games you can play in doing that. But, we get in direct competition with other grant applicants to get our cost-benefit analysis up. And I can talk about that, but it's probably not germane to what we're doing today. So moving along, it's just kind of the long history to show that, we do a notice of intent, we do a study, we do a grant application, They do what's called requests for information, asking for further information and justification, like how many Pima pineapple cactus are you going to kill and cultural sites you're going to dig up and things like that. And we explain over and over again that we're just adding on top of an existing levee, and eventually they approve it. That we got our, on the next slide, we get our notice of intent on October 18th, and I was kind of telling Deirdre, maybe your big curiosity will be what has happened since then. But I kind of joked with our director on the way out the door that, you know, we have 3 years of getting money, and then Deirdre's going to spend it in 6 months.
I can build it faster than we can get the grant.
So that's about where we are. But, you know, after this award letter, we then have to go to the Board of Supervisors to accept the money, have a kickoff meeting, get into the environmental clearances for real, finalize the bid package, and start environmental clearances. So that brings us up now to what we're actually building, and I think Deirdre will talk about that. So I'm happy to come back and talk about, you know, cost-benefit analysis, grant applications, and that sort of thing, but this is what's actually getting built.
And I will let you guys know, the flood control district has been great partners, sharing the design plans with us, the applications with us. We had the kickoff meeting here. It's been very rewarding to continue that relationship between the town and the county.
Great.
So as the grant was going through its long process to get funding, we on the engineering side were working on getting the plans for the project together. John's got a set of those, and I've got a set with me today if anyone wants to flip through them. But I'll go through each of these seven sections to describe what we're going to do. I just wanted to back up for a minute and touch on what Greg had said about the sediment aggradation. So as the sediment comes up, the levees are designed for the 100 years. So if you picture your trapezoid, if you're losing volume, we get to a situation where there's not enough freeboard to protect those homes, and we have requirements for that freeboard we need to meet. So this project is addressing freeboard, and in some cases, it's a matter of inches, and in other cases, it's a couple feet. So each section looks a little different, but in general, we start over here at La Cañada, just off to there, and then we've got Oracle coming up, and we're just to the east of Oracle. So those are our seven sections. Solis Engineering was our designer, and I'll talk a little bit more about construction once I go through the sites. Go ahead, John, and flip to the first one. So we're going to start on the west side and work our way east. And so this is the Canyon Shadows area, and I've got a few photo points. John, if you want to go to the next, you can see what it looks like. There's no asphalt path here, but we can tell the neighbors have access off their backyard, so we know they're using it and walking it. If you want to flip one more, John. In this area, what we're proposing is just construction of an earthen dam or an earthen berm, pretty much building up the existing area and then capping it with a lime-treated aggregate base. So this is an area where we don't need very much, but because there's not an existing asphalt path out here, we're sticking with a berm versus in some of these later sections you'll see when we're impacting asphalt, you'll be getting new asphalt loop in exchange. So if, John, you want to go to the next slide. Just going to keep working my way up. This is section two, and if you want to go to the next after, you can see what that looks like now, existing Loop River Park. And so in this section, if you go ahead and flip again, John, we're going to be constructing a River Parkside flood wall and doing replacement of the asphalt path. And you'll see in red, I've highlighted what typical section we call them is relevant. And so you can see there's existing vegetation that we won't be touching that. Maybe a branch needs to get limbed so we can get our contractor through.
Is it berm or concrete or riprap?
This is actually a concrete flood wall. So this is one of the areas where we need a little more freeboard. We'll go to a flood wall. In areas where we're just doing berming or asphalt, that's where we're trying for inches.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to move on to the next one.
And that was Logan's Crossing. And we just passed through and now we're into the country club.
Yep. And so this section here, you can see, again, we've got asphalt loop pathway. And if you go to the typical section, Sean, this is one where all we need is just an overlay of asphalt, just a couple inches, and we can say, yes, we have full freeboard back again. So in some cases, it's very minor. In others, you'll see the flood wall is when we actually need more freeboard.
Was there a question on that last section?
Was there?
Go ahead. Just 2 inches, like on the actual path itself.
Yeah, and so we'll take the existing path. We won't demo it. We'll build up over it, and it'll be a fresh overlay. We'll use our current asphalt mix, which has denser oils in it, and so less prone to cracking. Okay. A number of years back, we did a study on, we knew we were getting those lateral cracks, mm-hmm. and we were getting them on really good subgrade, like when we put them on, right on the soil cement. So things we knew that were steady, mm-hmm. and it was just that they were drying out, because unlike our roadways, you don't have the heavy vehicles on them, which kind of refresh the asphalt back. Yeah. So it'll be our new mix, which will be a great improvement.
Over those many times, yeah.
That way you won't have those little bumps.
No, I hear.
Rich.
Did you have a question?
As I recall, some of the flood walls along there were added to in about the mid to late 80s with the levee certification that was done for the Corps of Engineers, mm-hmm. and that. This work found that was not adequate because of the increase in other year discharge.
So those were already undersized, yeah. And
yeah. I think that was Terry Hendricks reading that last one.
Let me ask you what happens. I presume the 100-year discharge was changed or increased because mm-hmm. of the runoff from the denuded land. Mm-hmm. What's the situation going to be when that stuff, when that area gets revegetated again? Do you see it decreasing?
Yeah, you would see a decrease in those flows because you'd have higher losses in your watershed. So at that point, you'd be in a situation where you'd kind of extra freeboard, which is never a bad situation to be in, especially because certain channel sections of the channels just naturally aggrade, regardless of if it's a fire year. Those are areas where the flood control district, working with the town, go in and have to pretty much, we would call it dredge on the East Coast, so part of me still wants to use that word. We would go and take out material to get back down to that design elevation we're supposed to be at.
One additional comment is that we have partnerships with the U of A, who's looking at the revegetation rates. And one of the things we're having trouble convincing FEMA is that the vegetation is not going to recover to the pre-fire state in any reasonable time period.
There's some big, beautiful trees that go.
That's still ongoing science, but we are looking at that. So for now, the regulatory maps have not been changed. This is study was strictly for identifying infrastructure deficiencies.
Excellent.
Go ahead and go to section 4. And so I believe that's what, the Home Depot or Lowe's that we're circling around at this point?
Home Depot, yep.
Yep. And so
Steampunk Ranch.
Yes, we do end up using that for part of our access as well. So if you go to the next slide, you can see we're getting a little tighter here. Yep. You'll notice the wall is pretty much right up against the pathway. And so here we change the typical section detail. And you'll see that the flood wall is actually where the handrail is. And so we'll build the flood wall and then do the handrail on top of it. And so that was just because we were in such a tight section that we couldn't modify the wall. We could modify that wall, but it made more sense. Yes, John, exactly. It made more sense to go on the river side. So here again, the asphalt pathway gets replaced, so more of that length of new river park that will come in. All right, section 5, we're getting up. There's steam pump right up there in the corner. If you go to the pictures, you'll see we've got asphalt path here. So again, on the typical section, mm-hmm. we get to the point where we've got a river park side flood wall. So again, we've got that wider section, so we're able to keep it away from the path, give a little more space. We're going to do some additional slope armoring here just because we've got that steep drop off. So we're going to transition that in a way that won't become an erosion issue over time, mm-hmm. and then replace the asphalt pathway.
Deirdre, it looks like you're going to be impacting some vegetation up in the zone. You guys are replanting some vegetation.
Yeah, and the section that's coming up has the most veg impact. And so we'll take a look at that then, because that's our access point. So section 6 here, and this is where we're coming through the town's little pocket park for access up on that slope. And if you go to the views, yep, we get pretty tight up there again. So there you can see we're actually fully regrading the whole slope. So it's not just going to be one or two plants. It's a whole slope that we're replacing. And so there we're doing berm work, capping it again with that lime-treated aggregate base, slope benching just to help with erosion, slow the water down, and kind of check it with plants as it goes. Since there's no asphalt out here existing, we didn't put asphalt in. All right, final section. So if you want to go to the typicals, this is one that also no asphalt out here. So we're just doing, again, it's a rather confined section. So the flood wall will be on the river side, and pretty minimal impacts to those guys. Go ahead. I think that's our last one, but I still have a little update. So part of the process is, yeah, once you finish design, because of the dollar value of this project, so we've got just about $1 million of flood controls tax levy, plus $1.3 million of our FEMA money. It puts us in a situation where we have to use procurement. So this is a project that's large enough that I have to bid it through our procurement group at the county. And so right now the project is open for bid. Contractors are reviewing the plans and the specials and the bid tab. They're writing in their questions. We're answering them. And they have until the 20th at 2 p.m. Then we open the bids. We figure out who the low bidder is, and we award the project. Procurement takes about another month or two to get that contract secured. And then at that point, I'm given the go-ahead to start spending money with this contractor. Now, in the meantime, in order to get access to some of these sites, we're having to work with some of the private residents to get what's called a temporary construction easement, a TCE. And so we're in the process, our real property division, of starting to meet with those property owners, giving them offers, and starting to kind of get that paperwork in place. I believe they've all received at least their initial package. So trying to do as much on the front end as we can to get ready for, as soon as we get the okay to release on construction, we're going to try to get this done this fiscal year. So hopefully June 30th. That's aggressive, I know. It may stretch a little into the summer. Fortunately, for the most part, other than a couple access ramps, we're on the top of bank. So that makes it a little easier to work in monsoon if we need to. But our goal is to really try to get as much of this completed this fiscal year, just because that's where our budget has the project. So
I have a question. If we go back to the steam pump, the parking lot there where the for the farmer's market, that's pretty high up there. Are you concerned about the runoff coming on this side towards the parking lot?
Show me where you're.
Because there doesn't seem to be much of an...
back in here, Deirdre. Right. The backside slope.
That's a pretty high...
Yeah. We were our
high elevated area, and I'm concerned that there's not enough of a distance there if you have a massive rain runoff like we had the other day. What type of erosion problem would be facing that side where the farmer's market is in the parking lot?
Let me speak to that a little bit, Commissioner Mattson. The flood control district is under regulatory auspices of FEMA to come out and inspect these levees regularly. I believe every 5 years they have to. FEMA sends down some inspectors that team up with the regional flood control district to look at that very thing. Because what's important to them and the flood control district, to be quite frank with you, is the integrity of the bank protection. And it can be undermined from the backside with plants.
That's what
with
I was
erosion.
Concerned. With the soils so, here, yeah. It's not the same as the soils in the east. That's exactly. My experience.
So they are looked at regularly for those very things. The town does a great job of shutting down our facilities should they perceive there to be a safety issue from flooding or excessive runoff. They'll just close down the park until it dries off. But it is a valid concern, and people are looking at that on the regular. Plus, our own parks folks might alert our stormwater.
Otherwise, their buildings will float away.
Yes, we don't want that. Those are historic. We spent a lot of money on them.
And any area that we disturb will hydroseed, or if we're taking out trees, they will be replaced. Or if we have to limb up a tree to get access, we'll use an arborist for that and watch the contractor carefully.
This is Commissioner Crocker. What do you expect for closures for the bike path? Will the big sections, or it will move along and be bypasses, or...
We're going to try as much as possible, and I'll have more information that I can share with John once we get our contractor on board.
Okay.
We'll do a traffic control plan for the project, is to try to keep at least one lane open when possible. So you'll probably see like a barricade, and as much as possible, we'll try to keep one lane. There might be times where it's high activity and we have to shut down, but we'll closely coordinate with Oro Valley, and we'll make sure that the Loop social media and website gets those updates too.
Okay, thank you.
And the town would follow that up on our media pages with our communications group, basically echoing what the county's relaying to us, just to help everybody understand what they might be getting into.
I know. Sometimes it's hard for folks riding the Loop to, you know, deal with those things, but we just need to remind them you're getting brand new, beautiful asphalt, smooth ride. Just focus a few months out. Okay.
One more question. So additional oil in the asphalt.
Yeah.
Is it going to survive the Arizona temperatures?
That's actually why we picked this new binder, is we worked with Nino and Moore. They evaluated our current asphalt and then put together a report with a list of recommendations for us, and they recommended a thicker, heavier binder that is intentionally kind of best suited for our extreme heat.
Great. Thank you.
So. We'll be using that too.
What's the maximum amount you've had to add to the existing levee at any point along there?
I mean, it's really 2 and 3 feet. It's not like we're in the 5-6 feet. I mean, these levee walls, you can see, they're quite small. But it's critical in that FEMA wouldn't pass us if we couldn't meet the freeboard. And so this is, and that's why in some cases it's just the lift of asphalt. It's enough to say, yes, FEMA, we've, you know, added a little bit more for freeboard. It's not the water ponding against it. It's just freeboard. Okay. So if, like, there's wind and the water is sloshing, that's what it's there for.
It's a great point that even with the huge increase in queue, it wasn't estimated to overtop the levee in any location.
Which is great.
It was just a matter of freeboard, which is a big concern with all the debris that moves around.
Any other questions?
No, thank you very much for the president.
Thank you, Dennis.
Very detailed and very impressed. Okay, so we will now move to agenda item number 2, the presentation about the community's effort to create the next 10-year plan known as Oro Valley's Path Forward.
And I'd like to welcome Renee. She works with our Community and Economic Development Department. And let's see, let me get to the presentation. Kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's not part of the presentation.
Oh.
It's the same. It's like a slideshow.
Let's see which one it is.
I can bring this.
Which one of these am I
good? Can
you bring it up? Yes, please. Let's go ahead and do that. I'll give you a new window.
I asked her that question because I was stationed in Fairbanks for 4 years with the Corps of Engineers. And so we would go from minus 40 to 97 with asphalt. And it was unbelievable. Or just pool up asphalt in the middle. Yeah.
And
we drove the Alcan to get there, you know. And you could see the bumps and everything. Yeah, yeah.
Were you in Alaska?
My son's up there.
Oh, now?
Yeah, yeah.
He flies the Alaska pipeline.
Oh, okay.
We can look if you'd like to find out.
Yeah, send John an email
I can't believe you heard that.
We have
happened during Desert Storm, or one of the first ones, operation, but my tour was extended there. And I'd just been trained as a contracting officer. So when they tapped for officers, the commander of the Alaska Division said, "You're not going. I just spent $50,000 to train you as a contracting officer." Okay. That was not a bad thing.
Yeah,
trees from them.
They don't love it. Right.
Okay, back to the meeting.
We're back on.
The area that's degraded.
All right, y'all. My name is Renee Olvera. I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley, and I'm here to just give you an update on the community's effort to creating Oro Valley's path forward, the 10-year community action plan. All right, so the first step in this effort was to create the community engagement plan and to use it as a sort of a guide to gather as much feedback from Oro Valley as possible. So using it as a guide, so far we have been able to gather 1,170 online contributions, as well as 1,736 in-person contributions. And these numbers continue to grow every single day, especially with the new big community survey. So this is the Oro Valley Path Forward survey. It's out now until March 15th. Everybody should take it. And I'll get into why you should take it in just a second. But also we are releasing new discussions about important topics online, and we're having weekly events. So, as you all know, right now we are in phase one. So this is primarily made up of community engagement and outreach. All of this is to meet people where they are in the community, wherever that may be, whether that's at a community-wide event, a local business, or even a youth sports practice. And we do all of this to bring awareness to the importance of this plan and to really try to engage the community to help update the values and the visions for Oro Valley's future. The end of this phase will pretty much create the foundation of the plan. And that's why it's important to participate, because it's going to affect aspects of everybody's quality of life. So, all right. And using it as a guide, we can see on this map, we have had many opportunities to really spread the word around Oro Valley with several ads and articles, podcasts, posters. We have those big roadway signs, right?
Yes.
Exactly. We have, what else have we've been doing? We have 30 magnets on all of the town vehicles. So if you see an inspector going your way, you'll see a OB Path Forward magnet on there too. And just a lot more things that you can find out in Oro Valley. One of the biggest things that the community engagement plan calls for is for participation to be meaningful, easy, and transparent. So online engagement has really let us take a deep dive into your community. So far, like I said, I'm going to reiterate this number, because it's very impressive in my opinion. 1,170 online contributions. Every single week, we put out social media posts on both Facebook and Instagram. And obpathforward.com has a plethora of engagement tools, including discussion forums, polls, mapping tools, giveaway games, and now the community-wide survey. And we have also been out and about in the community. I hope that some of you guys have seen us out there. But like I said, we have gathered 1,736 in-person responses at 33 events. We have done a couple more events since then. I'm actually going to an event after this at Harvest. And if you guys are maybe wanting to grab something to eat, I'm going to be there. You can give some more feedback. But these events include going to Honeybee, Trailhead, Stacks Book Club, Ironwood Ridge High, and just many different places around Oro Valley. So as we continue to gather online comments and in-person comments, here's what the community has said to the three main questions. So the first question, we know, what do you like best about living in Oro Valley? People say that they love the sense of community, views, and outdoor activities. What do you think Oro Valley should be known for? They say beauty, views, kindness, and a clean, safe community. What about the challenges for the next 10 years? They say managing growth as it relates to traffic, water use, types of housing, and having more restaurants and retail.
Excellent.
So, join the discussion. Please take the community survey. It goes into any important topic that you have on your mind about Oro Valley. And it's just such a great way to get your ideas out there and give your comments back to the town. You'll also be able to find comment cards all around town, the big signs. Please go online, see where we're having events. Come on down, bring your friends, bring your family. Remember, if you have any recommendations of where we should go or places you want to see us, please let us know. But also, just go online. You're going to be able to find a bunch of things to do and a bunch of ways to get involved. So, yeah, ilbepathforward.com. And if you want to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, you're going to be able to get instant notifications.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that very much. All right. Again, please participate in all the surveys. It really does help.
You will come to Homeowners Association meetings, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to Copper Creek. Malini was at Stone Canyon just earlier.
Thank you again. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Very impressed.
Very impressed.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, our next agenda item 3 is a review and approval of November 16th and January 18th. Excuse me, November 16th, 2023, and January 18th, 2024. Each set of minutes start to be approved separately. If we have any comments now, or if anyone wants to make a motion to approve minutes, please let me know.
If there are no comments, I move that we approve the November 16 minutes.
Gary, will you second, or should
I would second.
Okay. Well, we have a motion to approve them. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. They're approved.
Now we need to do the January. Which was really pretty easy.
Oh, we didn't have a quorum then, did we?
Correct.
Yeah, we canceled it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We held it.
We did hold it. On the 18th?
But because we had to, we did not have a quorum, so we still have to do a motion.
Can I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Can I have a second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. 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 Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. just for everyone, for our audience also, I'm just going to make this comment. We're down to 3 board members. So if one of us can't make it, we no longer have a quorum because we need 3 for a quorum, don't we, no matter what? So we need, particularly if there's people who come to the meetings often, they could apply.
Looking right at them.
Applications can be found online at the town clerk's office.
Okay. So thank you. We'll go there to agenda meeting item number 4, which is discussions of meeting events. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. Commissioners, we haven't met in a while, so a lot has transpired here. A lot of reoccurring regular meetings with our partners at the Flood Control District, our partners at the Pima Association of Governments, our own meetings here. What I'd like to draw your attention to in particular was on January 23rd of this year, the Stormwater Utility participated in the Richard B. Wilson K-8 School, their STEAM Night Outreach event. You know, we had police departments, we had other public utilities out there, lots of other services, but we went there to educate the kids on the water cycle and the impacts of pollutants on water quality. So we brought out our demonstration board to show, logically enough, water flows downhill, but any pollutants upstream getting in the watershed have dramatic impacts downstream. So it's imperative that we're out there doing our part to clean up the washes and keep Oro Valley beautiful. You kind of see here, it really does help us out. And as Renee Oliver just showed us, it's really important to the public that Oro Valley remains clean and beautiful. So this was our part in doing our outreach to educate the next generation of folks that it's worthwhile in doing and how to go about doing that. So Chair Crocker, that's really the highlight of this particular agenda item.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions at this time? If not, thank you, John. We appreciate that. Let's move on to agenda item number 5, nomination and election of the Stormwater Commission Chair, effective February 16th, 2024. I'd like to open this now for nominations for the commission, and I'll nominate myself again for my third year or second year. But
it'll be second year.
Second year. So what do I have? Do I have a second for that? Do we have a second? Do we need to vote? Can I have all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So now we move to nomination election for the vice chair, which is number 6.
Well, it will be only one of you two because I'm finishing my second 2-year term. So under the rules, I guess.
You can do it. I already asked.
Yes.
You mean I can have another year?
No. No. You can be the vice chair for the rest of the year.
For a year.
For the rest of this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to I'll nominate Gary, Commissioner Mattson. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Gary. And by the way, for anyone who's interested, you get a complete script of how to conduct the meeting.
Yes, I will stick up for, on behalf of Urena, the stormwater utility really does go above and beyond in assisting our volunteers for the commissions here. It's important that we're doing things properly, but we want to assist the volunteers, really. We want to make your jobs as easy as possible, guys.
You make it very easy. Thank you.
Make it. The staff is excellent.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone for your votes and confidence as in volunteering. Let's move on to agenda item 7, the discussion regarding the Stormwater Utility Commission regular session meeting for calendar year 2024.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. Again, we're doing this as part of town code. We are asked that we present the annual calendar for the Stormwater Utility Commission meeting. As stated in the town code, we meet on the third Thursday of every month. So we'll look at that and answer any questions that anybody might have. But this is what we're looking at here. January, February, March, you know, just the standard course of activity here. What I will draw your attention to, August, typically, we do cancel a meeting in the summer. We like to coincide with the cancellation of the town council meetings. It seems to be appropriate. It's worked well for us. We still get to meet in July as monsoons are taking off. And then reconvene in September. Typically in October, we've held our Stormwater Utility Commission field trips. This past year, we went down to the Keno Environmental Restoration Project with our partners at Pima County.
Awesome.
It's something different, and the intent was to show the possibilities of what we can do and what our partners are doing. And then lastly, in December, we typically, it's so close to the holiday season there, we typically cancel that one to, again, coincide with the town council schedules. At this point, are there any questions or comments in regard to that? Chair Crocker.
I will be in Fredericksburg, Texas in March, so I will not be available for the meeting. So if we do not have a volunteer before then or an interview, we will not have a quorum.
Appreciate the heads up. We will take that under advisement and act accordingly. Any other comments, questions?
When does my term end? Does it end in July or does it end in
December 1st?
December,
I believe. Okay, 31st, Mr. Mattson, which would line up well with the vice chair position you've just been elected to. we will re-nominate folks in January once you've left stage left here. So that should work out really well.
So do we need to approve this or is this just it?
No. Okay. No, is that for every commission?
Commissioner Mattson, no, not every commission is beholden to a town code that dictates how often they have to meet or when. We're one of the few.
I mean the term. Do all the terms start in January?
They're all two-year periods with one renewal period. So is that a four-year?
It's a four-year term.
Four-year whack, I think.
It's two-year
to term. The 31st of December.
31st of December for all the commissions?
Sure.
Because
but we can follow up.
Well, because I'm planning to try to apply for another commission. That's why.
Yep.
That's a very good question because I know you can't be on two commissions, but
that's
you can
right.
apply for
knowing
one,
you're coming off of one.
That's
and going to be
what
to
I was driving
one.
At.
Okay. We can follow up with the clerk's office to validate that for you, Commissioner Madsen.
Okay. Will yes. the schedule be sent out to us? I didn't find it in
yeah.
here.
Because I have.
It's in the packet.
Commission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please.
It is.
Please. Yes, we can make that available to
okay.
all of you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, John. Let's move on to agenda item number 8, the discussion of the 2022-2023 Town of Oro Valley MS4 compliance schedule, second quarter report.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. Again, as mandated by our town code, the town of Oro Valley has a stormwater management plan. This plays to our MS4, our Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System permit that we hold with the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. That really helps set the stage for what we actually do here. We've listed 6 minimum control measures. Public education outreach, public participation and involvement, illicit discharge and detection and elimination, basically looking for potential spills and then doing something about it. Construction site runoff, somewhat of what Commissioner Madsen spoke about at Steam Pump Ranch. Post-construction runoff control, similarly along the lines of what Commissioner Madsen was referring to. And then pollution prevention, good housekeeping for municipal operations. Yet making sure our folks, when they're out working, that they're still abiding by the rules and regulations. All in the spirit of keeping people safe, protecting the health, safety, and welfare of our residents, and then keeping Oro Valley clean. It's what Oro Valley is known for, and one of the biggest things that I think very highly of the town here. It's as clean as any place I've ever been to. So I really appreciate that, and this particular stormwater management plan helps us along that way. So let's take a peek at what we had done here. We've seen these schedules before. Nothing should surprise y'all here. The biggest thing we accomplished here recently, which actually will be in the third quarter, we did the outreach at the school. In October to December, we were at the State of the Town doing outreach, again, educating folks on preventing pollutants getting in the waterway here. We've collected another stormwater sample. Sent that off to the lab. Again, very few pollutants in our runoff, which makes me excited. We're really doing a fabulous job of preventing dirt and pollutants from getting in our washes and waterways. So all in all, we're on track to meet the goals this year and marching right along. Are there any questions, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Let's move on to agenda item number 9, which is a presentation and discussion of the Oro Valley Stormwater Utility Fee Structure Review. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
I feel like I'm on repeat again. Thank you, Chair Crocker.
Me too.
Again, this is part of the town code. Our stormwater fee structure is built right into the code, and anybody's welcome to go take a look at that. It's Chapter 15, Section 24-13 is where you'll find the stormwater fee. The reason we're bringing this up, we've had numerous discussions over the last few years about the rate review. I believe in November, particularly Commissioner Madsen had brought it up, we're going to run out of money at some point in time to still be able to do the things that we're required to do and to keep Oro Valley beautiful and clean. So we all understand that. We've presented many scenarios. We've presented our future CIP and future operational needs. So I wanted to bring this up as a refresher. How is the stormwater utility collecting their revenues right now? So we're going to walk through that because this is where we're going to look at the increase. I believe Chair Crocker at the November meeting had asked about potentially increasing the square footage or actually decreasing the square footage to enhance revenue generation. That's certainly one opportunity. Amy Ramsey and I have presented numerous scenarios on just increasing the rate itself from 450 going upwards to capture more revenue here. The staff's job in the next coming months will be to show you guys what our forecasted expenses are going to be. We cannot adjust the rate without knowing how much money we need to collect. So we're not there yet, but we're working on that as a part of the upcoming fiscal year budget and long-range planning efforts. So we'll be bringing that to you guys. But I wanted a refresher of where we're going to focus our efforts in modifying the town code to allow the stormwater utility to collect more money. So let's walk through that again. None of this should surprise you all. But again, I felt it was important to discuss. So let's hit it. Again, we were brought into the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, the NPDES program here in the early 2000s, which Commissioner Hawkinson is well aware of. This really set the stage for the stormwater utility and the utility commission. And I applaud all of those early folks chipping in and making this a reality for us. But again, we're beholden to the federal government and the state government and making sure we're doing what we need to do. So a little more background here. We're an MS4 phase two. Well, what the heck does that mean? It's really tied to population and densities. So Oro Valley's got about 50,000 people in, 35 square miles? Something along those lines. You can see the criterion laid out by the state. You got to have more than 10,000 people, and you got to have a density greater than 1,000 people per square mile. So we're there. We meet those criteria for the phase two. Okay. Phase one's bigger. Pima County's a phase one. City of Tucson's a phase one. And then really the rest of us are loaded into that phase two category. University of Arizona, Davis-Monthan, Marana, us, we're in that phase two category. So again, as part of that, we've got to have our stormwater management plan, and we just talked about our six MCMs that we're beholden to. So to deliver on those, we've got to have a revenue stream. So again, the purpose of the fund, we're here to abide by the permits that we've got. We do inspection, we do enforcement, we do maintenance, we do repair, we do projects, we're building new projects. We've got to bill our customers and collect our revenue. We're issuing permits. We're doing a design review. And then last but not least, the catch-all. Other activities that are reasonably required to accomplish the mission of the stormwater management plan. That's broad. That's really broad. Rain falls on everything. So we're out assisting and supporting all of our departments here, all the private developments here, all of our guests, all of our business partners, all of our residents. So it's quite a task. But we do a great job. You know, I can't tell you the last time we actually flooded out. So it's a great place to be, and I really applaud and appreciate everybody's help in making that happen. We do have a requirement in the code about having a 15% a reserve fund, if you will. That's not really a ton of cash money. It really isn't. But it does allow us to enact a contract immediately and then go find some additional funding from wherever we might be able to grab it. It allows us to get boots on the ground and respond immediately. So that's kind of the purpose of that reserve fund or a rainy day fund. And that pun is intended. So we're going to dive in a little bit more. We have a monthly service charge that's imposed upon all properties here in town, commercial and residential. And that's to be collected the first month, beginning January of 2008. So we've been doing this for a while now. And it's to fund the stormwater management plan and all those activities that are a part of that. And again, this is pulled right out of the code. So if anybody wants to go find it, you guys can all go and do that. But we call it the stormwater utility fee. Our partners at the water utility are helping us out with, I don't know, Urena, 90% of the billing that goes out. They're tying that on. If you go look at your water bill from Oro Valley Water, if you're fortunate to have that group servicing you, you'll see a line item in there, stormwater fee, $4.50 a month. It's a cup of coffee. It's not tremendous here. but it allows us to do an awful lot. Okay, next one here. The last time we upped this was 2016. We went from $2.90 up to $4.50. What that really allowed us to do is bring on more staff, bolster our CED, our Community and Economic Development Group, in doing drainage reviews, doing stormwater pollution prevention reviews, getting out and doing inspections on those, and then bringing in some project managers who can help us realize some maintenance needs, some repair needs, and new construction needs. So that was the last time we did it. And we're talking, coming up on 8 years now, was the last time we increased this rate. Everybody knows inflation's been going up, labor costs, material costs, staff costs, everything's on the rise here. So it's time for us to look at this again and start to set the stage for that next generation of stormwater utility folks. It is based on $4.50 per 4,000 square feet of impervious surface. That's only applicable to commercial properties. All residential properties are just charged one ERU. That might be an area where we can look at. Maybe we go in and start analyzing all residential properties. Do you have more than 4,000 square feet of impervious surface on your property? There's some large properties hanging out here. I will caution you, it is not my desire to ask our staff to put in an inordinate amount of time in collecting this revenue. It wouldn't make any sense if we crank the fee up a little bit, but our staff needs and efforts are going up as well. That's going to defeat the whole purpose of increasing the fee here. So if we are asked to go look at each individual residential property in town here, which there's 20,000 of them,
more than that, the variable. If someone lives up on the hill where there's a runoff, is much different than some people that are in a planned area development. So you would be really going, hey, that's a get a whole bunch of university graduate students to do that. I mean, it'd be insane. You don't have the staff.
Commissioner Mattson, you're spot on, and I really want the commissioners and the public to understand that. I'm not here just to drive more staff time. That defeats our mission statement of protecting the residents. I want it to make sense. So looking at that type of, looking at that type of modification to the code, I would advise against it, but we're here to take your input and feedback. We can certainly look at it, but having to go in and digitize all those would be an inordinate amount of time. And I believe that was the impetus to just charge residents as one ERU. Make it simple. We'll focus in on the commercial properties where we're getting a development plan. It's much more easy for us to take the plans from the consultants. They've already digitized and designed in AutoCAD all of the parking lots, all of the building space. So it accelerates our ability to start charging them.
Plus, there's a greater runoff on a commercial parking lot.
Correct, Commissioner Mattson. You are spot on about that. And again, the purpose of charging these folks, it's not to provide a direct service to them. It's not to go clean their parking lot. It's not to go clean their streets for them, although we do those things. What we're doing is ensuring that the potential pollutants coming off of those properties, that they're not putting the onus back on the town to go clean up their mess, that they're doing their part too. So it allows us to go do inspections and monitoring to assist in guiding them toward an operational plan that might work. So I really want to make sure that people understand that these fees are not really meant to go fix their properties. It's to monitor, give guidance, and ensure the health, safety, and welfare of all the residents here in Oro Valley. So let's see, I think we kicked that horse pretty well on that. Are there any questions about that 4,000 square feet of impervious surface?
I have a question, and I do this because I think we're all in homeowners associations.
Yes.
And this is, I asked you about this because my community has 4 miles of roads.
Yes.
But those are impervious structures, but they're owned by the homeowners association, but that's not counted in this. I'm not suggesting we do.
Chair Crocker, that is a very salient point. I'd like to spend some more time digging in on that one because you're spot on. private roads inside of residential subdivisions are not being charged currently.
Wow.
They just aren't. Now, that's a huge, huge square footage of impervious surface that we're just not collecting on. We have the ability to. We've mapped it out. We've looked at it already.
Thank you.
We could. We are charging HOAs for their recreation zones, their community centers, where they might have sidewalks going around a pool, a building.
Okay.
We are charging HOAs for those facilities and then all the individual residences inside of it. But we are not looking at the roadways yet.
Okay.
That is a potential area within the auspices of a rate increase that wouldn't even necessitate a code change. We could just go collect on those private streets.
Especially in the gated communities.
Correct, Commissioner Matson.
Yes, yes.
And those still have potential to produce pollutants that would then find their way into the public spaces that the town would then be responsible to clean up and mitigate.
Becomes a fairness issue.
Yes.
Spot on, Commissioner Matson.
Yes, because we're already paying for our own road maintenance where people who live in older neighborhoods don't pay anything.
But, Chair Crocker, this is precisely why I made the statement before. This fee is not to go rebuild your road.
Correct.
This fee is not to repair the road. It's not to take care of the road, although we do street sweeping because dirt is a recognized illicit discharge. We do street sweeping here. But the potential runoff coming out of private streets, the oils, the paint spills, a variety of other things are coming directly off of those right into the MS4 that the town is responsible for. It seems like a low-hanging fruit, but the fairness issue and the marketing effort to go explain it to all those HOAs is paramount. And we will have to do that with the rate increase, too. Lots of public meetings, lots of outreach. We have to help the residents understand why the stormwater utility needs additional revenue. And again, it's pretty easy, just inflation alone. We see the water utility raising rates. We see TEP raising rates. We see Southwest Gas raising rates. We see Circle K, Walmart. Yeah. Everyone's raising rates. So that it's easily justified. It really is. Again, it's staff's job to help folks understand how much more money we need to collect, what it's going to be used for. Those are all easy things. And regardless of what we do, increase the rate, increase the square footage, go after these private entities, outreach is just paramount.
Sure.
We have got to go talk with each and every one of them, similar to what we heard Renee Oliveira talk about. I want to go out all around town. I want to give everyone an opportunity to hear our message, understand what it is we do, and how it would impact them positively and negatively. That's our job.
Is the street sweeping in the HOAs by request, or is that done automatically, or is it not done?
Councilmember Green, both, all. We do have zones set up around town where our operations staff just goes out on a routine schedule and just goes and sweeps, particularly after monsoon season. We know where we need to be, and we go clean those up. Whether or not there's sand on there, there's still potential pollutants, so they're out sweeping it regularly. We do take phone calls, emails. If you happen to see me in the grocery store and tell me something doesn't look right, we're responding all the time to residential, commercial complaints.
So it's mainly a request, though. Yeah.
Mainly, that will drive a specific location, but it is one of the biggest requests that we get is we've got sand on the road. Please come and clean it up.
Thank you.
Yes. Chair Crocker.
I'm a member of the board of Kanata Hills Community Association with 1,300 houses and a couple hundred apartments and parking lots from commercial areas. And we pay twice a year to sweep our own streets. And same with some of our neighborhood, too.
Carmel Point does it, I think.
Yeah, so all our sub-communities take care of their own streets. But
they do. You guys do actually a fantastic job. I will also point out, I don't know if I have it in here, we do offer a waiver to the fee. For nonprofit groups, there's other criterium. This utility commission actually is the variance group for that. people would make a petition to the Stormwater Commission, hey, we're doing street sweeping on our own. We're educating our folks. We're doing other things. Is that acceptable to the commission to allow a decrease in the stormwater fee for our group? I believe we've got the CDO Bible Church and we've got Walmart are the only two commercial properties in the entire town that have asked and applied for a waiver.
Okay. Leave it to Walmart.
Yes. Again, it's something we're supposed to do. I haven't seen it since I've been here, but it is in the town code that folks are allowed to come in and petition the commission to have a waiver. And it really does help us out, passing just the message on that polluting the washes is a bad thing. It seems intuitive, but having a flyer in your clubhouse, talking about it on your annual or monthly meetings, really helps us out, and we're willing to look at that, and I hope you all are too.
Yeah, I think the two items that they could get a break in their charges was the commercial ventures. If they put in a stormwater cleanup device and were maintaining and monitoring that, they could get up to 25% reduction. And for churches and
nonprofits,
groups like that, if they were doing something with education in their church, they could put together a plan, submit it to the stormwater group, it get approved, and they'd have an educational program within the. I know Cass's church did that for a while. Yeah.
When Roger Berry was the principal minister.
Yeah.
Yep. So again, we've got a variety of ways to slice and dice this particular thing. And again, we're not here to beat people over the head with it. We're not here just to collect money and put it in the bank account. If entities are willing to carry our message for us and do some activities that lessens the burden from the town, we're here to listen to that and really help us all get to the same place, health, safety, and welfare of our residents, business partners, and guests. Sounds simple enough, but Commissioner Mattson.
Key is, though, what you are doing with this CIP. We have to put all our ducks in a row to show what the money is going to. It's not going to build a bureaucracy.
Correct.
But it is to do actual infrastructure improvements and replace maybe aging infrastructure now.
Correct, Commissioner Mattson. And again, additional inspections, monitoring of those facilities, repair. It may not even be a rebuild, just cleaning a channel out, thinning out the vegetation so that stuff doesn't go downstream.
Give cost to the public, because if they don't understand how costly this is.
Correct. That is the stormwater utility's responsibility as mandated by the council and the town manager's office and the public works director, town engineer. That is our mandate, and our job is to explain why we might need a rate increase and to be transparent. You know, we want them to see what we're working on and what future needs are. That we won't be able to do this without that. It's bottom line. So, again, we'll just follow up this a little bit. Impervious surfaces, we actually go in and we digitize all the sidewalks and the rooftops and the pools. This is Vistoso Village Subdivision. This is their community rec center here off of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard by Moore Road. So we physically go in and digitize the impervious surface. We have these exhibits on file in case anybody wants to question it. Well, how'd you come up with that number? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is derived by CAD lines. Great. But we're willing to share this with people as boards turn over and people forget or they were never really educated. We can share these with those folks and help them understand why.
John, is ceilings count as impervious surfaces when you're measuring them?
Ceilings? Rooftops?
Yeah, like rooftops.
Yes. Yeah, you can see this red area, everything inside. So this is out. This is just a little gravel kind of landscape area. This is out. The sidewalk is in. Parking lot is in. Rooftop is in. Okay. Pool is in. Anything that prevents water from getting into the ground.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So if you have rocks on the ground, well, that allows water to get through it. Okay. We won't charge you for that. So, again, you can imagine if we tried to take this work effort and transpose it across every residential property in town, we'd probably never be done. So I really want you guys to have that in the back of your minds, the amount of staff energy and effort required to go collect this money. I do not want to raise the rate just so I can keep people working. That's not correct. Here's another example here of the diligent work our GIS, Scott Bennett, is going in and doing.
Oh, boy.
They've outlined everything. They're trying to be as fair as practicable
with
everybody.
Yeah.
And the hope is as new developments come online, we just take their line work that they designed and we turn that into the exhibit and lighten our load a little bit. But for some historic properties, back in 2003, we were doing all of this because we didn't have all the line work. Oh, we had to go in and hand crunch all of that stuff. But we're at a really good spot right now. But this just shows you, it's a really simple equation. You find the square footage for impervious surface divided by the 4,000 square feet, which is in the code. That comes up with how many EREUs you're being billed. $450 a month, pretty straightforward math. So these people are being charged quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of money. Yeah. Home Depot, quite a bit of money. Oracle Crossings, quite a bit of money. But as Commissioner Mattson spoke earlier, parking lots are one of the biggest polluters.
Oh, sure.
Brake dust, transmission fluid dripping. You know, if you go over to the auto zone, guess what's in the parking lot? Lots of puddles of mysterious car fluids. And where does all that end up? In our storm drains, ultimately in our washes. Commissioner Hawkinson.
I presume, but the way it was done originally when it came up with that 290 a square foot, that was, we computed from both ends. We put together a budget for what the program was for the MS4.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a number that we were shooting for to generate, you know, or to tell what the magnitude of the cost would be.
Remediation.
How it would be apportioned.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we sat down with the number of homes and businesses and all, and work things back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with a reasonable number that cost of $290 per ERU that applied to the businesses and applied to the homes that would generate what it would take for the original project.
Yep.
And I presume that in going for an increase in cost, and your program will put together what it looks like it's going to need to maintain a viable program to meet the community's needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that,
and
yes.
And whether we do it, leave it the way it is, or if we start jockeying things around, including roads, you might be able to take a little away from houses, but you're going to have to add it in someplace else. Mm-hmm. Somehow the bill's still going to be paid.
Yes.
Yes. The parking lots on all the businesses were included with the business.
Yes, and they still are.
And they still are.
Yes.
So the only thing that kind of gets left untouched is the roadways, but then you've got not only HOA roadways, but you've got town roadways.
We don't charge government entities. That's in the
code. No, it's offset cost.
That was it, yeah. But
so I'm more than happy to charge the water utility. No problem.
But anyway.
Yeah, so we shift the cost onto another side of the bill, right?
And that's, I believe, what Commissioner Hawkins is really referring to. We don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. We don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. That would make zero sense.
No,
even though, funny enough, Peter Abraham's the director of Water Utility and Paul Kiesler's the director of Public Works. That's exactly how it would go. But no, we really want to make sure this is fair, that it makes sense, and it meets the future needs.
Yeah.
It's really what we're talking about, future needs of the stormwater utility here. So, again, the original intent here was to find a fair means to go charge people.
Great.
This particular equation, calculation, came from the city of Flagstaff.
Oh,
and it seemed to make a ton of sense to the commission at the time. It still makes sense to me. It seems to be the most efficient and fair manner to go about charging folks. So I really am in support of keeping this calculation together. It's just what needs to be tweaked with inside of it. And that, for the most part, will require a code amendment going out to the public. You know, we mentioned public meetings, open houses to explain that, and ultimately to the town council for approval. If you guys are in support of it and make that recommendation, the final step would be in front of council and asking for their support and pushing this forward.
Well, Flagstaff was doing it, and when we did it originally, there were a number of other communities around the country that were using the same approach.
To be quite frank with you, Commissioner Hawkinson, there's less than 10 entities charging a stormwater fee in the whole state right now. There's not a lot.
Wow.
We've brought it up previously, probably a year and a half ago. Folks are tying it to an environmental fee. They're tying it to their water or wastewater fee. They're tying it to the general fund through public works, and they're just making it work as another budget line item. There's not many entities that specifically have a stormwater utility generating a revenue stream. They're embedding it in other places.
I think
and we could look at that.
This is much fairer.
It's
cleaner.
Yes.
We can specifically pull out what we've spent on a year-to-year basis and demonstrate that back to the decision makers on town council, our directors, our public residents. And we don't have to kind of filter anything out. It's quick. It's easy to demonstrate what we've done and what we need to do in the future.
Right.
So it's really clean. It's great. It really is. But we all know costs are going up. So we've got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Now, we did have our partners at the Regional Flood Control District in here. They're bringing into this town more than $2 million worth of improvements. That's a huge help. We've utilized them in the past. We're gearing up for some work, some channel clearing with those guys. Hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And we've seen it in some of our forecasts. It's unpredictable how much they do offer us. But we've had a running tally with them since Amy Ramsey took over. She's been asking for those numbers. How much are they delivering to the residents of Oro Valley? We all pay property taxes here. It all goes into the coffers of the county. And they should be coming back up here to do work. And they do. That's why it's really important for me to share that.
Plus, for them, since we do, say, a good job, when they apply for one of these grants from the feds, and the individual that's reviewing it from the federal area office, they get higher pointage for award.
Correct.
So they end up becoming maybe ahead of Globe or somewhere else. They become ahead of, not Globe, but I mean Pinell County.
Point taken. Yeah. Commissioner Mattson, I really appreciate that you brought that up. Beyond just qualifying higher, having better criterion for a grant application, flood insurance.
Oh.
Pima County, I believe, is going to a class 2. You can count on two hands how many class 2 agencies in the whole country. And a lot of that is the outreach they do, the cleanliness that is within the region, the importance they place on flood control and flood management. They do an excellent job. They are a great partner to the town and the rest of the agencies here. But that class 2 designation lowers the flood insurance premiums for people in Pima County. It's a tremendous benefit. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in savings by the work that they're doing and that they're applying through the National Flood Insurance Program for. So I applaud Eric Shep, the director at the Pima County Regional Flood Control District. Their staff is kicking butt, and we're a beneficiary of that as well. So direct benefits to what we're doing here, what they're doing here in the region. and I can't speak enough, they're here helping us out. Whether we know it or not, they're up here. They own the CDO Wash. They own Big Wash. Those are the two biggest watersheds we've got in this town, and they're helping us out, making sure we're safe. You know, they kind of glossed over that, but Bighorn Fire started in June. It burned to the middle of July. They had that floodplain model up with a consultant in August, looking at what's the potential impacts here. A lot of those notices about moving out and evictions and get ready, I was spurred mostly by Pima County. They were right by our side, helping us see us through to make sure everyone was safe. Those are the things they do on the regular, and it's great to see. Beyond Pima County, again, we're applying for grants through FEMA right now. Those are a bit unknown when you try to put them in the long-term needs, revenue streams. It's hard to tell if we're going to get those grants, but we keep trying. Yeah. And that's just with our own staff here. The six people we've got, we're pushing grants out on our own. We're writing them. We're doing the design work. We're doing the modeling work. We're responding to the RFIs. We're doing the outreach. Certainly, we get some help from the legal department and the transportation engineering group. We get a little assistance along the way. Procurement's there alongside of us. IT couldn't do anything without IT. Finance is certainly helping us out. But we're running those on our own. We don't have to hire a consultant to write a grant for us. We're doing it on our own. Those are all unknowns, though. And we'll continue to apply for outside funding to supplant what we're doing here, because it eases the burden on our residents' back. If I don't have to ask for more money, I certainly don't want to. But we're coming up against it that the funds for grants these days are going toward equitability. And we live in a bit of an affluent neighborhood here. Mm-hmm. So it's getting harder and harder for Oro Valley to qualify and be competitive with our grants. Doesn't mean we won't get them, but we have to sharpen our pencils that much more to even go after these federal grants that are coming out these days. But we're going to keep trying. It's, again, though, the unknown of what we need and what we're going to bring in. But I'll tell you guys, as long as I'm here, we're going to keep chasing that stuff. We're going to keep asking our partners at the state, at the county level, please help us out. I want to partner. I want to make these projects efficient, and I want to ease the burden off the residents' backs. So those are all critical to my way of thinking of how we go about looking at the increase here. Just a couple more slides. Let's rip through this thing so you guys can get on your way. Again, about 20,000 residential accounts and 325-ish commercial accounts. Got almost 9,000 ERUs just in commercial properties alone. We work really closely with our CED partners. How much open space we got? We're looking at annexations. We're trying to project into the future how many people might be coming here and how many structures are coming up. Again, we need to take that into account. I really want to be fair across the board here. So working really closely with Bayer, Vela, and David Laws and looking out into the future. This is here's the stormwater fee reduction. I believe Commissioner Hawkinson brought it up, 25% discount if entities can demonstrate to the Stormwater Utility Commission that they are doing outreach, education, cleanups, stormwater runoff mitigation devices. All those things come into play, but this is straight out of the town code again. It might alleviate the burden off of the backs for things HOAs and commercial properties and nonprofits are already doing. So I encourage the public, please go look at 1524 13G 3 and 4. See if you guys qualify and make an application. Come before the commission here and make a case. Well, with that, it's been a very interactive discussion. Again, we will continue to have discussions around the rate review. It is my expectation that we address this in some form or fashion this calendar year.
Okay.
So I don't know what the next agenda item will be in regard to this. Probably in lines of our expense needs, calendars for timelines, how long this will take, because it is not an overnight thing. If you guys even said today, increase is $6, just go. It would still take us a while to get through the public meetings and ultimately to the town council for their approval.
Okay.
It is also my expectation you guys come along for the ride at these meetings and in front of the town council. I will not ask you guys to be front and center. But I want to demonstrate these are volunteers from the community that are supporting this. That it isn't just staff saying we need to do this stuff. It's a team. It's a team effort. I'm a big proponent of collaboration, and I'd like to ask for your guys' support as we venture forth in this endeavor. Any other questions?
No.
Wow.
Thank you, excellent. Mr. Spiker. That's excellent. We're glad for the reminder. So we'll now move to adjournment. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Aye.
Commissioner Mattson?
Second.
Commissioner Hawkinson? All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.